It is so unusual for me to find, to come across someone in the psychological or psychiatric space that's actually talking about using their intuition, tapping into spirit guides, ancestors, using shamanism and astrology in their clinical work. And today, I was able to do that with Dr. Judy Safrir. She is a holistic healer, activist, artist, and gardener with a holistic psychiatry and psychoanalytic practice. And she is on the faculty, ready for this, at Harvard Medical School, the Boston Psychoanalytic Institute, and she teaches and supervises at the Cambridge Health Alliance. And why this conversation was so just validating for me, and I think for so many of you will love it as well, is we actually talked about things through an astrological lens and how that can sort of lay on top of a psychological lens and what the movement in the planets means in terms of our development and how we can see ourselves in different phases of life based on these shifts in the planetary alignment. I don't even know if that's the right way to say it because I'm not an astrologer, but I just thought it was so refreshing to hear people, and I'm hoping to bring more people to you like this, who are really in the medical space, in the medicalized space, but are talking about some of these other modalities of healing and how they can help facilitate a more holistic, perhaps a quicker, not that I'm into quick fixes, but a quicker way of healing, because you're looking at all the different parts that are impacting someone's psyche and their human experience. So I think you will all really enjoy this heartfelt interview. Her book is Sacred Psychiatry, Bridging the Personal and Transpersonal to Transform Health and Consciousness. So how innovative is that? Like, I'm just so excited to bring this interview to you because I'm so excited that we are starting to have more people in this space actually talking about these different healing modalities. So with that, I bring you my interview with Dr. Judy Safrir.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, Judy, to the podcast today.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.
So, such an interesting background you have. Astrologer, shaman, and Harvard-trained psychiatrist. So can you, let's just start with where all of these kind of modalities came together for you.
So I was never entirely a totally conventional psychiatrist because I did training in psychoanalysis. And before my practice opened up and became holistic in the way that it is today. I was practicing doing mostly psychoanalysis and psychotherapy, which is not that common for a psychiatrist because many psychiatrists do a lot of medication prescribing. Mm-hmm. I sometimes would prescribe, but not a lot. When I was 49, which is significant astrologically, it's called the time of the Chiron return.
You get right to my next question, but we'll pause.
Keep going. All right. So I'll explain about that because it's probably not a familiar term to many of your viewers, but in fact, many patients appear in my practice at the time of their Chiron return because it's a time when, for many people, they feel this desire to spiritualize their life as well as to address some kind of essential wounding that they've been living with. But for me at that time, I had a confluence of losses where both my parents died within 3 months of each other, mm-hmm. and my marriage ended at the same time, and I had three little children. And so I was just kind of putting one foot in front of the other, and I consulted an astrologer for the first time. And astrology wasn't entirely unfamiliar to me because my father was very interested in astrology. He was also a psychiatrist and psychoanalyst, but he was in the closet because he was very afraid for his reputation. Anyone would know about this interest of his, but it was something that was familiar to me. And there were astrology magazines around the house, and he had a kind of an old fashioned, a different sort of perspective on astrology than the one that I have, but it was something that was in the air, in the ethers. Mm-hmm. And so after his death, and my mother's death, I consulted an astrologer for the first time, and I was just fascinated with our conversation. And I couldn't, it was just sort of a mind blower that she had so much insight and understanding of me from looking at my birth chart. And so I went back to see her multiple times. I wanted to look at the charts of all of the important people in my life, my children, partners, my parents, and eventually resolved that I wanted to learn to be an astrologer myself, and began an intensive course of training with Stephen Forrest, who's a famous astrologer, and later with Maurice Fernandez, both excellent astrologers. That was kind of, I said make a joke, it was like a gateway drug. I just started exploring all kinds of things. I just opened myself up and did some training in shamanism, and also began to integrate kind of functional medicine into my practice. And so today, it's really very much like a mind, body, spirit practice rather than like simply the talking cure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you integrate? This is always my question with astrology or numerology or any of these modalities, mm-hmm. Enneagram. When people come to you and you look at their astrological chart, mm-hmm. and they have kind of these defined personality roles or relationships that they're in, how do you then help move them as a psychiatrist, do you still do analytic work as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Which I so appreciate. Let me just say, as a therapist, having psychiatrists who can talk the therapy language, I think is, mm-hmm. it's a dying breed. It's so,
totally.
It's so sad to me that psychiatrists don't understand the therapeutic aspects in many ways. They just come on in, write a script, and out the door.
Right. It's the same in all of medicine. It's mm-hmm. Identifying symptoms and suppressing with pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my grandfather was a pediatrician. People who have listened to this podcast know that. But he was a very holistic pediatrician even back then, because you had to be. You had to know how all the systems worked together.
And have relationships with your patients, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, he used to have his kids on house calls on the weekend to all of his patients. And he had a morning call in at 7 a.m. Anyone mm-hmm. could call in and ask any question they had about what's happening.
So different.
And I think how much we've lost that relational piece. So I so mm-hmm. appreciate that you do that. How do you then shift someone when they see a chart and they kind of say, oh, well, I guess that's just me, or that's what my chart says. So I'm, you know, destined to be in relationships that are difficult, or I know I'm simplifying astrology here.
Right. But, well, I guess it has to do with how you understand the birth chart and how you understand the symbols in the birth chart and what they represent. Because, like, it's my perspective that you could never just look at a birth chart and know what somebody was like or know the way that somebody was living their life, because the archetypes can be expressed in so many different ways. So, for instance, let's take the archetype of Neptune. Like, that could be a symbol of somebody who was very spiritually oriented, very much, you know, connected with developing their consciousness. Or it could be somebody who was very prone to addiction. You know, like, you don't know what a person has done with the archetypal energies. And I see the archetypes and the symbols in the birth chart as kind of invitations to people. And you can use your consciousness to embody them in the highest possible way or in a way that causes you suffering mm-hmm. and causes other people suffering. Mm-hmm. So I don't see things as fated and I'm not really interested in prediction. Mm-hmm. I believe that you can look at a chart and you can see, wow, you know, there are a lot of intense energies going on. There's energies that symbolize that this could be a powerful time where things were being dredged up from the unconscious and that there was a lot of potential for transformation and that this will likely end in like 4 years from now. So you could give a time frame for the cosmological weather. But you don't know what a person is going to do with something. And you can work with them in therapy to make the highest use of the birth chart. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't do astrology with everybody. Like, everybody knows that I'm an astrologer because it's on my website and I get their birth time to begin with. But it's really up to the particular patient if that's an interest of theirs, if they'd like to work with that with me.
But when they come in, have you already looked at their birth chart, or you only?
Not always, okay. Usually, but not always.
Okay.
Sometimes I enjoy like not looking and then getting to know them and then looking at it. And it's just very interesting to see how it correlates.
Well, and confirms probably what you see and how they experience themselves, perhaps. It's
right. And validates like, you know, like a person who has like symbols in their chart that like there's a big, big focus on gifts when it comes to like achievement and professional success, but more challenges when it comes to like personal relationships and intimacy and dependency, you know, like, so you can see that symbolized very clearly. But I mean, you wouldn't know for sure that, you know, what they were doing with it, but you would see suggestions of that.
So does that then give you like a little bit of a roadmap?
Yes, definitely does. It definitely does, because there's something in the chart that are called the nodes of the moon, and they're not actual bodies, but they're points in space that have to do with the relationship between the sun, the moon, and the earth. And that is like, has something to say about a person's dharma and their life purpose and what they need to embody during this lifetime so that when they're an elderly person on their deathbed looking back, they can say, wow, that was a life well lived.
I mean, this is just incredible from one, that you're a psychiatrist talking about this. How do you feel like this has been received from your colleagues? I mean, you're at Harvard.
You know, as much as I'm not in the closet, like it's on my website, Like, I'm a member of the Boston Psychoanalytic Institute, and I've just written a book called Sacred Psychiatry. Mm-hmm. And they have this program that's called Meet the Author. And I mean, I initially wanted to give a talk, and they kind of treated it like sort of like a hot potato. Like, maybe you should like ask the Meet the Author program. And so then I wrote to them about that, and they just didn't write back to me. Like, I feel like it's... And maybe they didn't get my email, and maybe I need to email again. But, you know, it just feels to me like psychoanalysis is like allergic to the spiritual. I mean, at least conventional, you know, like not Jungian. But
right, I was going to say, which is so interesting, right? Because Jung was clearly...
Right, but he, you know, he was not like within the fold of conventional psychoanalysis. There's a big interest in like analyzing somebody's conflicts about expressing their aggression, but not about their conflicts about connecting with oneness. You know, like that's not the model.
What do you think things would look like if it was?
Wow. I just think that the healing would be so much more effective. I mean, yeah. I think you can talk with people until the cows come home, mm-hmm. you know, about their childhood. I just think it's a very partial picture about what will truly be healing for a person. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Freud had a pretty low bar, you know, like he thought the aim of psychoanalysis was to get a person to kind of accept normal human misery. You know, that's a low bar, right. You know, rather than...
It's a little different than the positive psychology movement.
Right. Something more aspirational about how we can realize our life purpose and why we're here. And I mean, I do teaching at a Harvard hospital where I basically come with my psychoanalyst hat on. You know, like I think if I would come and, you know, ask about the patient's astrology, that they wouldn't invite me back, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. And when, I mean, I know the answer to this, but I want my listeners to understand. When you say psychoanalysis, how specifically do you define that in your work?
I define that as an intensive psychological treatment where you're meeting with a patient multiple times a week. You know, I mean, there's been debates in psychoanalysis about what truly qualifies as psychoanalysis. Is it 5 times a week, 4 times a week, 3 times a week? I mean, I think there can be a psychoanalytic process. I mean, there can be a psychoanalytic process going on when it's once a week, but it's more effective when it's like 3 times a week, mm-hmm. when a patient is coming in and talking. There's just a depth and an intensity and a kind of detailed granularity to understanding the person's emotional life that is possible. And also a depth of relationship between the patient and the doctor, mm-hmm. that is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do you... If you're working with someone in psychoanalysis, might you also be looking astrologically at what's going on with them? Or do those things
yes.
feel very
No,
separate?
Yeah, no, totally. Okay. Totally. I mean, I have you know, one patient who's in analysis with me, and she always wants to look at her chart together. Mm-hmm. And very often there's nothing new to see. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, a transit that has a very long duration, and it's this just another expression of the same thing. But we make a lot of use of astrology together, and she in fact is now going to study herself professionally to become an astrologer. She's so interested in it.
How do you incorporate then shamanism into mm-hmm. your work?
Well, I incorporate it personally, like in terms of like daily, my own practices and asking for guidance before I start to see my patients for the day.
Said no and, psychiatrist ever.
Huh?
Except you. I said no psychiatrist ever except you.
You know, I do a lot of work with my ancestors and spirit guides, getting assistance, you know, because I just think it's way more effective. And just me by my little self, I don't think would... get such good results. Mm-hmm. And, but I use it more formally when I do ketamine assisted psychotherapy. And then we do it in this sacred and ceremonial way. And we call in the directions and we set up an altar and we invite in the patient's ancestors, and I might invite in an ancestor or a guide. So then it's more participatory with my mm-hmm. patient. Like mm-hmm. I don't do like soul retrievals or finding people's power animals like some shamanic practitioners do. I don't do that. But I use it with the psychedelic work, and I use it personally, like daily.
And so how does that then show up? People ask me this all the time, so I'm going to turn the question on to you. How does that then show up in your day-to-day work when you're sitting with a patient? Do you hear messages from your spirit guides, or do you just feel like intuitively you're guided to what's needed?
I feel intuitively guided. I never hear anything, like literally hear anything, mm-hmm. but I feel so guided. Mm-hmm. And I feel so, like it's like so important for me to really keep up with my practices and to make offerings and to give thanks. Like it just feels like life unfolds in a way that
is magical.
It's magical. Mm-hmm. It's magical.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I love to cultivate the magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in some ways, I think it takes some of the pressure off.
Yeah,
because you're like, okay, I'm just gonna like
surrender
in. Yeah,
to surrender, like ask for guidance. I'm willing. Help me trust. Please show me the way. Mm-hmm. You know, like I always ask, you know, for guidance. I pray like a lot every time before a podcast. I ask to be guided to show up to be my best self and to have it work out well.
So just in everything you do.
Mm-hmm. So especially, I think that's important.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree. I feel like I'm always in conversation with my guides, the universe. Like I've been, my new thing has been when I'm driving in the car in the morning and it's quiet and the roads are, I'm always going to the gym and it's a short drive, but one day I just heard, turn the music off, like stop, turn the mm-hmm. noise mm-hmm. off. Mm-hmm. And so I just did. And now, even if I go to turn it on, I'll hear, like this is your time. And it sounds silly, but I think we can create and block out sacred time, but we can also create sacred time in the spaces in which we're also.
I'm totally with you. You know, like I love to listen to podcasts. Like I'm just so interested. There's so much to listen to. Mm-hmm. There's so much to learn about, but you know, and it's a discipline for me to leave my headphones at home and just walk without them, you know, because I want to hear things. I love that stimulation. But it's really good to dedicate time to quiet, mm-hmm. and to being available.
I'm with you too. I love to learn. So like every mm-hmm. opportunity I get to listen to something while mm-hmm. I'm cooking or working out or whatever take it. Mm-hmm. But then you do lose sort of that, that conversation that we sometimes have with our higher selves.
Right. So I do like a practice every morning where I'm beating my drum and saying all these different kinds of things that have kind of accumulated over time that I like to say. And a lot of times things will come in during that period.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love what I think people for me often are like, I think they imagine that I'm sitting in a session and a spirit guide is just like sitting on my shoulder talking to me, like, do this, say that, do this, say that. It's like, no, it's just, it really is just trusting that I will be led and I will be able to say what my patient needs. And I think what you're saying too, and what the book said, you know, I loved the book, by the way, Sacred Psychiatry. It's fantastic. It outlines like all these tools. I was actually thinking about this morning, these tools in the toolkit. And the more tools you have accessible, I think the more you're able to tune in intuitively to what someone needs and then offer up that tool and not be so wedded to, well, it has to be psychoanalysis or it has to be psychotropic meds, whatever it is. If you love the show, there are several ways you can show the love. You can go to patreon.com at Dr. Amy Robbins, just put in my name, and support the show in any monetary amount you feel comfortable. $5, $10, $20 a month makes the world of difference to me. So I would appreciate if you could support the show, if you're already supporting the show. There aren't enough ways to put into words how grateful I am for that support. It literally has made such a difference to me, and it is what keeps this show going. So thank you so much. Also, make sure you're subscribed anywhere you can get the show. You are following me on Instagram. Please subscribe to my newsletter, DrAmyRobbins.com, where I do bi-monthly soul wisdoms. I'm going to be getting back to that. I took a little break, but they are coming back. And also, you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amy Robbins. That is where I'm the most active. That's the social media platform you can find me on the most frequently. And just reach out. Let me know your thoughts on a podcast. Share the podcast with friends, whomever you think would be interested in this topic. Just please pass it along. And thanks as always for your support.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's wonderful to have. I mean, that's why it's so fun to like learn new things, because when you have a practice, then you can, you know, well, you can use it on yourself and you can offer it to your patients. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Chiron. Because it's the first thing you mentioned it really early in this conversation. It was one of the things that I highlighted and was like circling, because I've heard about this concept before, but I never fully understood it. So can you help me understand it and help the listeners understand why that's important in their
lives?
Yes.
So every planet has an orbit. So like the moon goes around the earth in 28 days. The earth goes around the sun in 365 days. And all the planetary bodies have orbits. So Saturn's orbit is 28, 29 years. So you maybe have heard of the first Saturn return, or the second Saturn return is when somebody is like 59. Well, Chiron also has an orbit, and Chiron's orbit is like 49, 50 years. So what that means is that where Chiron was in the natal chart, it takes 50 years and then it goes around and it comes back to the point it was at the time of birth. Like the United States at this moment now is going through its Chiron return. And you can see all the things, the ways in which this country is wounded. Like things that need to be dealt with, that need to be addressed, are surfacing, you know, like the history of slavery, the consequences of that, the history of the genocide of the indigenous people, all of that is surfacing, things that need to be addressed, that need to be healed, are coming up. So in a person's own life, one man is seeing me now who is 50, or he's going to be 50 very shortly. And he lost his father when he was 16 and started smoking marijuana at that time. And well, he came to me to get off of benzodiazepines, which is another whole story. But
right, which you address too.
But like, we're dealing with his loss of his father, which determines so much the rest of his life after that. Mm-hmm. And so the Chiron return, like I have another patient, I talked about her in the book. She came to see me, and then right before she came to see me, she learned that the person she thought was her father was not her father. Her mother had conceived her with a sperm donor, and it was like a big secret. And Like, so these kind of essential things that have been influencing a person all their lives can come up for healing. Mm. And so Chiron, like in mythology, like it's a very interesting thing, because there's this thing in astrology where when a planetary body is discovered, it's somehow like the archetypal meaning of that planet coincides with the zeitgeist at that time. So like when the planet Uranus was discovered in 1784, that was a time of the French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Haitian Revolution, revolutions all over the world. And Uranus is about revolutions. So Chiron is about holistic healing. And it was discovered in 1977 when there was this burgeoning of interest in holistic healing.
That's my birth year.
Is it? Mm-hmm. So that's so interesting. So you were born the year that Chiron was discovered. That must have some kind of meaning in terms of you as a holistic healer. Mm. But Chiron has an orbit that is goes between, like its orbit is between the planet Saturn and the planet Uranus. And Saturn was the last planet that was visible with the naked eye. So up until the advent of the telescope, it was only thought that there were seven planets, because Saturn was the last one that could be seen. Then in 1784, Uranus was discovered because there was, you know, the aid of the telescope. So Chiron's orbit goes between like the 3D known material reality that we feel with our five senses, mm-hmm. and something transpersonal, something beyond ordinary reality. And Chiron in mythology was a centaur, so he was half horse and half man. So there's something that's both and, just like we are both, you know, spiritual beings and mortal, human, bodily creatures, animals, you know?
So is Chiron not an acknowledged planet?
Because it's an asteroid. It's an asteroid. And there's even a debate about that. There's some difficulty characterizing Chiron. Like sometimes it's thought that it's a comet, or is it an asteroid, or what is it exactly? But it's part of these bodies of planets where now there's been many, many, many discovered called the Kuiper Belt. Chiron was, in mythology, he was the product of a rape. Zeus assumed the form of a stallion in order to chase Chiron's mother, Philyra, who was a nymph, who changed herself into a horse to get away from him. Then he changed himself into a stallion and impregnated her. And then when she gave birth to Chiron, he was a centaur. And she was like so horrified that she rejected him. And so he was sort of born of rape, or he was rejected at birth, but he was adopted by Apollo and raised by Apollo and his sister Diana, and received a fabulous education and became this beloved and revered mentor. He was, you know, a great healer, an herbalist, an astrologer, a musician, and all the kings would send their sons to be educated by him. And then Hercules, I mean, there's many different versions of the myth, but Hercules in one version wounded him with an arrow that was dipped in the blood of a hydra, and the wound could not be healed. And so despite all of Chiron's skills, he couldn't heal himself, and he was in an unending agony. He couldn't die because he was half god, a god, and he offered to exchange places with Prometheus, who had been chained to a rock by the gods for giving fire to humankind. And so he exchanged places with Prometheus, and then the gods were so moved by his altruism that they put him up in the sky as a constellation. So it's also a message about how we save ourselves through service to others. And also that we have wounds that are, you know, very difficult and maybe impossible to heal. You know, like there's certain things that have happened to us in our lives that you don't just like get over, you know, like you may learn to deal with them more skillfully and not have as much charge around them, but it's not like it didn't happen, you know? And Ram Dass, I quote him frequently saying, like suggesting that what we need to do is to become a connoisseur of our neuroses, you know, like know ourselves, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, and I always say that's the most spiritual thing you can do is to know yourself. With, okay, so at 49, you see people coming in really 49, 50 to deal with perhaps these old wounds, traumas that they've never been dealt with. I've also heard, you know, a lot of people seem to exit this earth around 28, 29.
That's the first Saturn return.
Right. So what does the Saturn return mean? Like this Chiron return means dealing with the wounds. What does the Saturn return mean that so many people seem to exit at that point?
Well, you know, Saturn is about structure and about alignment and about our 3D reality. It's about limitations. It's associated with fear. It's associated with discipline and hard work. And like when a person is like up until 28, 29, it's associated with maturity and mortality. So up until the age of 28, 29, like somebody in their 25, they're still like trying to find their way in this culture where like saying, okay, you know, he's in his 20s, he's still kind of looking. Once they hit like 29, very often there's both an internal and external expectation culturally that they have sorted something out and they're like a little bit more clear about their path professionally, maybe in terms of relationships. And so I guess if a person at 28, 29 feels like utterly despairing about setting themselves up and doing a course correction to create a platform for the middle years of life, that they may decide to, you know, end it then. Mm-hmm. Because that's the task of the Saturn return, is to get yourself into a position to for the this middle phase of life. And then at 58, 59, you set yourself up for the years of the elder. And very often you'll see, like, let's say somebody is just having like a horrible time when they're like 59, like they just, things are just really not going well. And you'll say, well, what was going on for you when you were like 29, the first Saturn return? And very often you'll hear that that was also like a really difficult period. There's some echo between the two.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Are there other planet returns that we should be looking out for? I almost feel like it sort of feels a little bit like Erikson's hierarchy.
It is totally like a developmental thing. I mean, you know, a person's natal chart is set up uniquely. Like everybody's chart is different. Mm-hmm. And so like depending where Pluto is in the sky at the moment, it may be contacting a person's sun, but that's like unique to them. It has to do with where their sun was when they were born, and it doesn't have to do with their age, but the way that there are like Saturn returns and Chiron returns, there's something called the Uranus opposition that occurs when somebody's in their early middle 40s. And that's sort of the kind of, I don't know, the trope of the, you know, early middle-aged man with the red sports car. You know, like there's some kind of wish for freedom, some kind of, again, it's like these glimmerings of mortality, I believe, you know, at that time. Right. But
the new wife.
Exactly. But there really are these developmental steps and stages. And a lot of it is with Saturn. Like Saturn, it's the whole cycle is 28 years, but every 7 years, like there's this thing, 7 year itch. You know, like that's related to the Saturn cycle. You know, a lot of times kids at like 14, they become, you know, really
I've got a grunty one right now.
Yeah, that they are, you know, they're not going along with the program so easily. Mm-hmm.
And so that has to do perhaps as much with the planets as it does with where they are in their developmental.
Totally.
Like we've always medicalized it, right? Like, they're going through adolescence and puberty, and that's all about the hormones and the developmental stage. But you're saying it's even bigger than that.
It is bigger, but I think they all kind of are interwoven. Like the Chiron return, that coincides with a woman's like reproductive years ending. So it is hormonal as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, no, it's totally a developmental progression.
Well, and that in some way is why it's so sacred and holistic, I think, as you're talking about it, is it really does look at, yes, you know, the planetary orbits and the hormonal changes and mm-hmm. perhaps where you are in your life in terms of, you know, childbearing years are over. If yeah. you have children and kids are moving, you know, moving away and exactly. all of that, which comes into play at that age.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
Judy, if people are interested in your book or you or your teachings, which it sounds like are quieted a little bit, where can people find you and find out about your incredible holistic way of thinking about the human experience?
Well, I have a website that's my name, judithsafrirmd.com. And it's not just like a regular website. There's an awful lot of information there about different things. So people can learn about different things there. I also have a blog that I write, and you can sign up for that. Would be like so happy if you would buy my book and write a review of it on Amazon if you like it. So you can order my book, and there's also a Judith Safrir author's page. You can find that. I mean, if you just Google me, you can find all the things. I don't have like online programs or anything like that, but I really, my product at this point is the book that I wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would highly encourage anybody. I'll write a review for you too, because
oh,
I really
thank you
enjoyed
so much,
it.
Amy.
And absolutely. And I love just hearing from like-minded practitioners who are speaking out about how they are holistically looking at their patients, because I do think it accelerates healing and it makes
right.
a huge difference.
And now more than ever, given everything that's going on the planet and we're such a time of transformation and chaos, we really need all the holistic tools that we can access mm-hmm. to thrive in this environment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, Judy, thank you so much for your time today and your wisdom and for putting yourself out there. I totally resonate with that. And I know how difficult it can be to say, I think of things a little bit differently than the traditional ways of doing things. So I just honor your bravery in that respect and am grateful for it.
Thank you, Amy. And I enjoyed our conversation. I enjoyed how fresh and spontaneous it was.
Oh, me too. Me too. Thank you.
Like what you heard today and want to hear more? Wondering what comes next and what it all means? Head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Also, if you could take a minute to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. Stay tuned as we continue to explore life, death, and the space between.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.